everybody, and happy holidays to you all. I just wanted to make an announcement before the bell choir starts playing. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, the bell choir will be going to Freedom's Lutheran Church, and we will be participating in 9 lessons and carols at the church at 4 o'clock. So I hope, you know, if you don't have anything doing, be nice to see you have some support for the bell choir, okay? All right, I hope you enjoy the 2 songs that we're playing for you this morning. Okay, and Merry Christmas to everyone. A blessed Christmas. Thank you.
Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning, just 1 week closer to that ever-joyous day of Christmas. A few announcements this morning. I'd like to remind everybody that board meeting is this Tuesday, December the 17th. The executive committee meets at 6:30. The commission meeting's at 7, and board meeting starts at 7:30. Another announcement I'd like to tell you about is the candle lighting and memorial service coming up. That's going to be held January 5th. It's Sunday morning for our loved ones that have passed away during the year of 2019, this past year. If you want to notify Tony in the church office, the number's listed in the bulletin, if you would desire to light a candle during this service in memory of a family member or a friend. A few other announcements. Pastor Marty has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. I want to take an opportunity to introduce some special guests this morning. This morning we were blessed to have a very good presentation from some missionaries from the Independent Church in India. If you would please stand, our guests this morning. They are Lowell Smith and Pastor Brito, and they gave a wonderful presentation this morning on the work that they're doing in India, and we're very glad to have them here. I just happened to pick up a Christmas gift catalog that they have out there. They have a table out there, a display, so you can just go ahead and look at that this morning.
And I think Rachel has an announcement for us this morning as well.
Good morning, everyone. And just two things. First, if you would like to help out in Children's Church, let me know. We just need people to be assistants. The only thing you would have to do is just help the teacher and get your clearances if you don't have clearances yet. So if you're interested in helping me in Children's Church, please let me know. And another thing for those helping in the Lab Nativity, we will meet at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary to get our costumes on. And we'll run over the Lab Nativity real quickly, and we'll go down and we'll have pizza for dinner. So you can just bring a snack to share or a drink, and then we'll come back up here and do the Lab Nativity. So we'll meet Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock for those that are doing the Lab Nativity. If you are not in Lab Nativity but still want to help out, there's a sign-up sheet. It's in the bulletin. There's a sign-up sheet out in the gathering place to help us know who all is bringing some goodies that we can have after the Lab Nativity. And we'll have hot cocoa and a little bit of apple cider. I'll bring some apple cider to share. Any questions, just let me know. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Now, if we can all join together in the responsive call to worship, it comes from Psalms 146, verses 5 to 10 this morning. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, and who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to all the prisoners.
Lord. Over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Now we will have the lighting of the Advent candle.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. We welcome all of you this morning on this third Sunday of Advent. This morning's Bible reading is the Song of Mary from Luke 1, 46 to 55. Listen to the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He was filled with hunger with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Mary spoke this song after the angels announced to her that she could conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Mary's song is a song of joy. God turned her fears into joy as the news of the coming of Jesus. And she said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow Mary, and the power of the highest will come unto Mary. Mary believed God for this miracle birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as this news could only come, bring Mary joy, the joy of being the mother of Jesus. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." May we have the same joy in our spirit in our Savior today. May we bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray, God of all hope, as Advent begins, help us to challenge the various forms of despair that threatens our faith. Our faith in you and others, help us to wait for the God who acts on behalf of those who wait for him, and to watch for signs of hope in our lives and our world. May we pray for the many people who need a Savior. May the strength and hope in Jesus Christ, who is our only God and Savior, in his name we pray, amen. We light the third candle of Advent as we wait in hope and joy for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Now let us stand together and join in singing our opening hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 546 in the Brown Hymnal.
Glory.
let us pray. Come, child of Bethlehem, make your presence known to us and dwell in our midst as we worship. Come, servant king, teach us the ways of your kingdom and make our hearts your throne. Come, brother of all, show us the meaning of our humanity. Go before us and lead us to God. Bring us to the fullness of your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, it's not listed in your bulletin, but I'd like to share something with you. I have the pleasure of having a friend by the name of Joyce Ott, and she liked to do journalist things for her local paper, The Herald. She lives out in a little village named Lloydsburg, right between Breezewood and Johnstown. And so she would write a column every week for their local paper, The Herald, and she would title it, Thank You God For. So this morning I'd like to read her December one, and it goes, Thank You God For December. Such a busy, happy, and exciting month. The whole household seems to be in motion. There's a special cleaning to be done, and there are lots of cookies and other goodies to be made and given away. The children are busy with Christmas plays and parties, and of course, the house is full of Christmas carols. Outside, the trees are bare, and the sun shines brightly through. The birds are busy squabbling at the bird feeders, and some days it drizzles, and then one morning, the ground is white. And then it gets us even more in the mood for Christmas. This is the season for homecomings and gatherings of family and friends. What do we celebrate when we gather together? Let's remember the birthday of our King. He was born in a manger instead of a palace. He was crowned with thorns instead of a golden crown. And he is not lying in a cold tomb as his predecessors. He is reigning victorious. Come on, let's celebrate his birthday by telling others of his saving power. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. John 12, verse 13. Thank you, God, for the December and the birthday of our King. This morning, our offertory statement says, Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we enter the season of your son's birth, your most precious gift that you have given us, Lord, let us remember why he came, to save ourselves, to save others, so that we may one day come and spend eternity in heaven with you. All we must do is accept this gift that you have given us. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us in our lives, and for the special gifts of family and friends that we can cherish, not only this time of year, but throughout the year. And let us pass those gifts on to others through our offerings, and bless those who are less fortunate. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the ushers can come forward. Children may be dismissed for children's church, and we will join in our offertory hymn, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, number 532 in the Brown Hymnal.
Oh,
We come to our time of prayer this morning, and in your bulletins, you'll see a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. Just a few few announcements here concerning our prayer concerns. Our sympathy needs to be extended to Dick Forney and family on the passing of Dick's sister, Marilyn Wagner. So keep that family in prayer. And also, this week, we are praying for the Springfield Church of the Brethren as a church in our district that we need to pray for each week. So this week, we're praying for Springfield. And the rest of the prayer concerns you can see in the bulletin this morning. Let's bow our heads and come to our God in prayer. Lord, on this third Sunday of Advent, Lord, we're very mindful that this is the time of the season of Christmas with the decorations and the Christmas festivity all around us. But we pray, Lord, that we would know the true meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of Christ, and that, Lord, that Jesus came as a baby, Lord, to bring hope to those who are losing hope. But most of all, Jesus came as our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for that greatest gift that you have given us. And we pray that we would prepare our hearts in the season of Advent. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship this morning. We thank you for our guests this morning. We thank you for the Independent Church of India, the presentation that they gave during Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for calling missionaries. And we thank you for each one that's represented this morning here with the Independent Church of India. We pray your blessings upon the ministry that they do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for their ministry. Lord, this morning we also want to lift up the ministry of the Springfield Church of the Brethren. We thank you for that church through all the years. We lift up that church, Lord, with a need for ministry that they have. We pray that you would be with them as they share the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for the pastor and the work that he does, Lord. We pray your blessings upon that church. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as a congregation, as we minister at this time of year. We pray that we would be a good witness for Jesus Christ to those who need hope. We pray that you'd be with our families as they prepare for Christmas, Lord, because, Lord, we know how important family is during this time. Lord, we lift up our president at this time and the members of Congress, Lord, as we as a nation, Lord, seek to fulfill the calling that you have for us as a nation. We pray that we would truly be one nation under God, that we would represent our nation, Lord, from your glory. We pray especially for the president and our leaders in Congress, that you would protect them, Lord, from attacks. We pray, Lord, that you would just give them the heart and desire, Lord, to serve you and your commands and standards, Lord God. We pray that you would guide us as a church, as we are lights of Jesus Christ. Lord, you command us, Lord, to share the light of Jesus Christ to others. We pray that we would do that, Lord, through our words and through our example. And now, Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts as we hear the reading of your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift that you have given us, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today, Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. Prophet Isaiah is pretty much in the middle of the Bible, and we're looking at the 35th chapter, verses 1 through 10. This is entitled, the future glory of Zion from Isaiah 35. Hear the word of the Lord. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. May God add a blessing of the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto your sight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, this is a time of the year where we hear those familiar Christmas songs, some secular, some sacred. I'd like to introduce to you one of the secular songs of Christmas that we hear many times, and it was sung by Andy Williams back in the 1960s and 70s, and it's called "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." The song speaks about the joy of the Christmas season with all of its festivities. Some of the words go like this: "It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. There'll be parties for hosting and marshmallows for toasting and carols out in the snow." Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year for some people, but not all. Unfortunately, we live in a society where many people experience stress and depression during the Christmas season. I read a survey, and according to experts, there are 6 causes of stress and depression during Christmas. Number 1 would include the absence of a loved one. Number 2, it would include family conflict. Number 3, economic difficulties. Number 4, tiredness. Number 5, loneliness. And number 6, having the winter blues. In other words, winter depression. If you ever watched the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon, you see that Charlie Brown is depressed at Christmas in that cartoon. And in the beginning, Charlie Brown is telling Linus that he's not happy at Christmas. No one sent Charlie Brown a Christmas card, and so Charlie Brown seeks psychiatric help from Lucy. And Charlie Brown wonders why he's depressed, and so Linus tells him, "Charlie Brown, you are the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. not the most comforting words, but Linus was very truthful. Well, depression is not what this morning's scripture text is about, in case you wondered. This morning's text from Isaiah speaks about the joy and hope of the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, the Christmas message. And I want us first to look at the text from Isaiah 35, and let's look at the question of how did the hope of Christmas begin from Scripture. The hope of Christmas began at the time when Isaiah wrote his message to the people of God. That was approximately between the years of 767 and 697 BC. Now think about that. The word of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, began some 700 years before Jesus was born. And the interesting thing is that the hope of the Messiah came during the time when Israel was at their lowest point in history. It's true. At this time when Isaiah wrote the message, the powerful Babylonian Empire destroyed Israel and God's people and the temple. If you look back to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we see here that the Jews and the nation of Israel were in exile. They were carried away from their homes and their country. In Isaiah 1, verse 7, it talks about that. Isaiah says to Israel, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land and your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." And in verse 9, it says, "Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom, would have been made like Gomorrah." Now you may think, how can that message from Isaiah bring joy? Well, when we are at our lowest point, there's nowhere else to turn but upward to God. If you talk to anybody who's been through the battle of alcoholism and the addiction of alcoholism, they will say, they will agree that they have to reach their low point before they can look up to where God can help them. Hope begins when you're at your low point in life. The Jews and the nation of Israel at this time were exiled from their homeland. And their only hope was to believe that there were better days ahead. And we were told from scholars that out of the millions of Jews who were exiled from the homeland of Israel, only a few would actually come back to their home and see the holy city of Jerusalem. But, and here's the kick, but the people would not lose hope. How do you stay positive and joyful when you're losing hope? Well, you talk about what God did in your past. That's what the exiles did. They talked about how God rescued them in their past. The exiled Jews would talk about the Passover, how God rescued them. They talked about the miracle of God parting the Red Sea and rescuing the people. They talked about all the miracles that God did in their past. That memory gave them hope for their future in their God who could rescue them. And so what Isaiah does in this text is to talk about the change that God would perform for the people and the nation of Israel in their future, their hope in their Messiah. And Isaiah, in Isaiah 35, if you want to turn there, Isaiah uses a symbolism of the desert, of all things, to talk about their hope. If you look at Isaiah 35, verse 1, it says, "The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice." Now, I don't know how many of you have ever driven across the desert, but it's a pretty desolate place. I remember the first time I made my trip across the country. It took 4 days for me to drive from Pennsylvania to California. And I remember the longest part of that trip for me
was going through the state of Utah, because Utah is nothing but a vast wilderness, lots of desert, dryness. But they also say that whenever it rains in the desert, everything changes. Flowers start come out in full bloom. And what looks like a wasteland suddenly becomes a tropical paradise. That's what deserts go through when it rains. And Isaiah is saying that only God is able to make that change for the people. And what about the change that we see in people? That's something to celebrate. We heard this morning from our missionaries how God is changing people's lives as they share the gospel in India and places where there's so much poverty and need for the gospel. The change that we see in people is what we need to celebrate at this time of the year. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Acts 8, verses 4 to 8. Here we find the word of the Lord being preached in an area that never received the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 8, verses 4 to 8, "Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." And here's the key verse, Acts 8, verse 8, "And there was great joy in that city." There was great joy in that city. Why? Because the city of Samaria heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ for the very first time. For the first time, the people heard a message that gave them hope in their lives. And we as people, the church, we've been given that opportunity, the command to share the gospel message to others in our community, to families. And I think that we can all agree that there needs to be a change in the world around us. One commentator from Isaiah 35 says this about becoming new in Christ. "Our lives want newness, but can we bury the old?" Can we bury the old? You know, when we come to Christ, our old selves need to die. Our old habits need to die so that we don't go back to our old life without Christ. Maybe a previous relationship needs to end so that you don't cause yourselves to go back to your old life. Now turn back to Isaiah 35, and I want us to look at how we can have the hope of Christmas by having a change that God is able to make in your life. Isaiah chapter 35. And let's look at verse 3. Isaiah 35, verse 3. And this is, "The hope of Christmas is to celebrate the change that God is able to accomplish in your life." Isaiah 35, verse 3. Isaiah says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees." Now that's interesting how Isaiah made the comparison of feeble knees. For those of you who have knee problems, you know what feeble knees is all about. You know that you can't do much on a feeble knee. You know how hard it is to put weight on that knee that's feeble and hurting. That means you totter with your feeble knee, or you stumble with your feeble knee. And you want that brand new knee to happen. I remember that same thing happened to my father when he was in his late 70s, early 80s. He had the problem of a really, really painful knee. But yet he was not willing to make that sacrifice by getting a knee replacement. You know, that's something that you need to pray about if you have knee problems. Are you willing to make that sacrifice by getting a knee replacement? Every change that we're talking about involves a sacrifice. Maybe you're facing something this morning in your life that needs to change. And we know the promise from God that he is able to accomplish anything. He's able to rescue anyone. He's able to save anyone. This is what Isaiah was saying. He was telling the people, your God is going to do his part. But what about the people? What is our part? This is where I want us to look at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. This was also a reading this morning from the lectionary, which I didn't have time to go through. But I want to briefly go through James 5, beginning with verses 7 through 11. James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. Now, that's interesting how James talks about the coming of the Lord and compares it to the farmer who is patient. And I remember when I was at the church I pastored at before I came here, we were at a church in southwest Kansas. And I remember how dry the climate was there. And I came away from that church with great respect for the farmers in southwest Kansas because they face many, many summers where it's dry with no rain in sight. And many of them yet continue to farm. Many of them have that perseverance, that patience that says, we're going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to trust God that God's going to provide. And I remember the first year we moved to Kansas, you know, I was from the east, the climate was so different. And the first year we were in Kansas, we had this really long dry spell without rain. And we were in church one Sunday morning, and during the service, I heard this pounding on the church roof and window. And I kind of had this puzzled look on my face because I didn't know what this was. But everyone in the church knew exactly what that was. It was rain. And they were so happy. They were jubilant. They said, well, this sounds good. It's great. You know, praise God, it's raining. And after church, I told the people, well, you know what? I'm not used to hearing this. I'm not used to hearing people rejoice when it rains. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania. You know, you get too much rain there. And when we do get a lot of rain, don't we complain and grumble? You know, we grumble and say, well, it's just another rainy Monday morning, isn't it? So whenever we have a lot of rain, I always think of the farmers in southwest Kansas and how grateful they are for rain and how patient they are during a dry spell. James continues to tell us, look at James chapter 5, verse 8. He says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And so look what James says. He says, don't grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. He tells us when you go through hard times, don't blame other people for your hardship. Don't blame others, because you're going to be judged. You're going to be condemned by God if you condemn others. And then James tells us, he assures us that we're not alone in our trials. You're not alone in your trial. And he talks about Job. Look at verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so he talks about Job and how he endured through his own trials. I remember the time when I lived in Ohio, and I tore my Achilles tendon one time playing a pickup game of basketball. I was playing with some youth from the church. That was a big mistake. I should have never done that because I ended up tearing my Achilles tendon on one play. And I remember when I went down on the basketball court, I didn't even know what happened to me. I just know that, you know, my leg was hurting. After a while, I kind of had an idea that I tore my Achilles tendon, but I wasn't sure. And the first person I called was a guy in church who also tore his Achilles tendon playing softball. And so I called him and I said, hey, this is what happened to me. Is this what happened to you? And we compared stories. And he was someone that was a great comfort and encouragement for me throughout my rehabilitation, because I had to be on crutches for many, many weeks. And I called him. I said, this is what I went through. Is this what you went through? And I called him back, and we shared our stories. And that gave me much comfort. And that's really what James is telling us to do with each other. When tough times come, we need to talk and encourage each other. Next in your insert, it says, hope means that we look forward to what the Lord will do for us in the end. Hope means that we look forward to what the Lord will do for us in the end. Again, James says, you heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Now, that's key to remember. Whenever you're going through a trial, James says, look at the intention of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. God has his plan at the end of time. It will be a time when we experience God's love for us, and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to him. That's what James says. James says, stay faithful to our Lord under any circumstance. And when you think about it, in every part of life today, in every part of our lives, faithfulness is rewarded. When both husband and wife are faithful to each other for life. Employers and bosses, they like to hire the worker who's always faithful, dependable, on time, never misses unless of course there's health and family emergencies, which you need. And I will say that pastors appreciate members of the church who are faithful in their attendance and service and fellowship. When you're faithful in these areas, it's also a mirror to being faithful to your Lord and Savior, who will reward you and I one day. And finally, in order for you and I to look forward to what the Lord will do for us in the end, patience is a requirement. In order for you to look forward to what the Lord will do for us in the end, patience is a requirement. Now, when you think of patience, you might be thinking of, waiting in a long checkout line and where you have that patience. Well, I'm talking about patience that's a little bit deeper than that. James tells us in James 1:3-4, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, which is endurance, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. William Barclay, a biblical commentator, says, patience is more than the ability to bear things. He says, patience is the ability to turn trials into greatness and glory. Now think about that. Whatever trial you're going through, do you believe that it's going to turn into greatness and glory in the end? And Barclay talks about, and our missionaries can probably know about this, he talks about how the early Christian martyrs had patience when they died at the hands of the heathen people. I read about that, how much the early Christian martyrs made an impression and a witness for the heathen people who put these Christians to death. The early Christian martyrs made such an impression on the heathen because right before these Christians died, they were smiling. They were able to say they saw the glory of God and were glad. They actually saw that because they had the ability to turn their trial into greatness and glory. And that's what we are called to do as well. Think about that as we approach the Christmas season. How can you turn depression into joy? How can you take your trial into greatness and glory? It's only by the help of the Lord. Now, for those of you who know the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon, you know the story ends on the note of Christmas glory. Charlie Brown's depression turns into glory. When Charlie Brown killed that tiny Christmas light bulb on it, or a Christmas bulb. It just went over it, and it killed. He killed it. And Troy Brown was devastated. He says, "Everything I touch gets ruined," and he ran away. But then Linus comes along and takes his blanket and wraps his blanket around the tree and gives it a little love. And then all the kids decorate from Snoopy's doghouse and decorates the tree. And when Charlie Brown comes back, he looks at the tree that he killed, and it's a beautiful decorated Christmas tree. And everyone said, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown." And they sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and then it starts to snow. I always wondered if that actually works, if we sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" and it will snow after that. I don't know if it works or not. We can try it sometime. Well, we went Christmas caroling last week, so I guess we can't. But that's how a perfect example of how trial was turned into glory. And all it took was teamwork with all the kids and Charlie Brown. We are not alone, brothers and sisters. We have each other as believers in Jesus Christ, and together we could encourage each other, help each other out, especially during difficult times, so that we can look forward to the glory and coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may it be so for you and I. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this wonderful time of the year, for the joy and hope of our coming Savior. And God, I pray that you would look upon our hearts. And Lord, if we need to make any changes this morning, Lord, in our lives, we pray that we would do that today. And place our hope and trust in you, because Lord, you are the only hope and glory that we have. And God, we just pray that you speak to anyone this morning, Lord, who needs a helping hand, Lord, who needs prayer, Lord, that you would just give them that hope and the comfort that they need. And we pray that we as believers, Lord, would be encouraged to help each other out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing our closing song, "Go Tell on the Mountain," number 550 in the Brown.
Thank you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.